the book of Zechariah, chapter 4 and verse 10, the second to the last book of the Old Testament, just in case you have a hard time finding it, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. And just a portion of that verse is what we'll read. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? Just that phrase. For who has despised the day of small things? Now, many of us have seen this verse and heard of this verse before, and it's sort of used in, it's taken out of context many, many times. A lot of people take this verse and they say, well, you know, we have a little small company of believers here, or we have a small thing, and who has despised the day of small things? And it seems to be certainly a valid application of that. But it's often said in a negative way. But really, it's a positive thing that God is saying. God is saying that there's value even in the small things, in the little things. And many times in our lives, we can see how God uses little things to accomplish big results. And that is certainly a principle that we see in the Scriptures. Think of so many different occasions in the Old Testament and in the New Testament when God used little things to accomplish big purposes. For instance, the children of Israel, as they were coming out of Egypt and as they went into the wilderness en route to the promised land, God provided for them manna. And how is manna described when we first read about it in the book of Exodus? A small, white, round frost, this fine frost, white, and very small. And it was that small item that God provided for the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness that provided for them the strength, the food, the provision that they needed for 40 years. And so here's a little item that God used in a miraculous way, providing it for them all through their time that they were in the wilderness for that entire 40-year period. So something small God used in a big way. And think of David. Here is David, the young David, who's the son of Jesse, and the Philistine Goliath, who is terrorizing the nation of Israel. And Saul at the time was king, and it says that he stood head and shoulders over all other people. And that's why they elected him or appointed him as a king. They wanted it, they demanded from God that they would have a king in that way like the Gentile nation. So they chose who they thought would be the most apropos king for their nation. And so they chose someone very tall. But God used a young man by the name of David. And how did he use him in a miraculous way? He went out, got some stones from the brook, took those stones, young, little David, and he went and slew that Philistine giant by the name of Goliath. Here God used small things, a small person in that sense, relatively speaking, when you compare him to, what, 9'9" Goliath of the Philistines? Small David, used in a marvelous, miraculous way, a very big way, for God's purposes. And so there's another instance of God using a small thing or a small person to accomplish great things. You know, turning over in the New Testament, we read a number of different instances about God using small things in great ways. How about that young lad who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He had small resources. He was a small little boy himself. And God used him and God used his resources in a miraculous way, and there was the feeding of the 5,000. Again, God uses little things to accomplish great ends, great results. There I can't help but think of the time of year, at the end of this year, when we celebrate the birth of Christ. We don't know exactly the time that Christ was born, but there is a young virgin and her betrothed husband, who was Joseph, and they were looking for a place for her to have her child. And where do we see the Savior of the world, the Son of God, being born there in a little manger? A little manger. And yet it was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, coming to that little manger, being born into this scene. And then certainly from that, salvation resulting for Jew and for Gentile. God uses little things in wonderful, large ways to accomplish his ends. How about the gospel? The gospel is likened unto a little seed that when it goes into the ground, it dies, it produces fruit. Small things producing great things. Little items producing great results for God's purpose and God's kingdom. And then we're told regarding our own faith that if we had faith as small as a mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, and we have a lot of them around us, around this area, to be cast into the sea, or maybe here over into the river, and it would do it. The fact that we would say this, God says in His Word that faith can move mountains. Faith as little as a mustard seed. Little things used in great ways. You know, sometimes this can be used in a negative sense too. We're told in the Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. The vines may have fruit, they may have great things, and of course we understand the application of that, that it's the little things that can damage major works. I remember one time reading the story of an event that occurred over 100 years ago in England. Spurgeon told the story. He said that there was a bridge that fell down and that had collapsed. And it had people on it. It was a rope bridge. And they tried to do an investigation. Now, keep this in mind, 100 years ago, not the same investigation techniques perhaps that they use today. But they did an investigation to try to find out what was the source for that bridge collapsing. It didn't make sense to them. The bridge looked perfect. It was in order. It had rope. It had nice wooden slats that were holding that whole bridge together. What caused this bridge to collapse? Well, when it went down to the bottom of the ravine and they took the remains of this bridge and they took a close look at it, they had found that a little seed had gotten in between the rope and the wooden slats, and it took root in the moisture in the rope. And that root eventually grew, and it became a little twig, and then a little plant, and that plant separated the strands of that rope. It was the little seed that caused this great collapse of this bridge, and people dying as a result of that as well. Little things, the little foxes that spoil the vines, little things can also cause great havoc and great catastrophe. Well, there's no question in our minds, I'm sure, if we took a close look at the scriptures, that God uses little things, said in a positive way, little things to accomplish great results. Well, this weekend, I would like to take a look at some little things in the Bible that can occur in our lives that we can see how God can use in a very big way. And I'd like to do that by considering the ministries of the two of the greatest prophets, perhaps, in the Old Testament, that of Elijah and Elisha. The ministries of Elijah and Elisha. And specifically, we'll be looking at some passages from 1 Kings, chapter 17, 18, and 19, and then 2 Kings, chapter 4 and 5. Elijah's found in those first passages of 1 Kings. And Elisha, his successor, his servant who became his successor, we find his ministry there located in 2 Kings, and we'll specifically be looking at chapters 4 and 5. So the ministries of Elijah and Elisha, and the little things that come up in their lives that have tremendous lessons for us. There is Elijah. He is raised up by God in a miraculous, marvelous way, stand before the evil and the idolatry of Israel in a day of declension. And we see Elijah strolling onto the scene. And he comes onto the scene, and he stands before Ahab, and he says, "Before whom God I stand, there's not going to be a single drop of rain for these next few years." We're told in the book of James, that's exactly what Elijah did. He prayed, and the heavens withheld the rain. And so Elijah had an audience with the God of the universe. And God responded, God listened to what Elijah had to say. And so here is Elijah. He's going along in his ministry, but before he launched out in a major public ministry, God wanted to test him privately in his life. And so he sent him to the brook Cherith privately, and that's where Elijah's life was tested privately. And then God tested him in his public life And he sent him to a widow, who there was there all alone with just her and her son. And Elijah said to this widow, I want you to bring me a little water. And so she decided to bring a little water. Then he said, I want you to bring me a little bread. And then she starts complaining. And she says, all I have is flour and all I have is oil. And he says to her, make me a little cake, a little cake. Well, there's a lesson in that for us, little cake, and what it speaks of regarding how God can use us in a marvelous way for his work, a little cake. Then there's this big showdown at Mount Carmel. There is Elijah before the prophets of Baal, and a tremendous victory. And after the victory, then Elijah comes off that Mount Carmel, and he hears the sound of abundance of rain. And so he sends Ahab off, King Ahab, wicked King Ahab. He sends him off. And then he himself goes and begins praying. And he prays seven times. And at the end of the seven times, we see, he sees, his servant sees, a little cloud coming up from the Mediterranean Sea. A little cloud. Well, that's got tremendous lessons for us. And that's what we're going to be looking at tomorrow on the second session. A cake will be considered on the first session tomorrow morning. The little cloud will be considered tomorrow on the second session, Saturday morning. Then in the evening, for the first session, we'd like to take a look at Elisha and some of the little things that God used in his ministry, in his life. And here is Elisha. He goes to a widow, or not a widow, rather, but a Shunammite. And she's there with her husband, very noble person. And we read there in that account in 2 Kings chapter 4 that this noble woman decides to set aside a little chamber for Elisha. And that's got tremendous lessons for us as well. We'll look at those in detail tomorrow evening in the first session. The little chamber, the lesson of the little chamber. And then, of course, we have the account with Elisha afterwards. Here is Naaman the Syrian, who's hit with leprosy, incurable disease, is unable to take care of himself, a picture of sin in such a perfect way. And the word comes to go to Elisha, the prophet in Israel, the one who's the representative of God there in Israel. And after a chain of events, Naaman gets healed of his leprosy. Well, it all started how? With a little maid. And just her simple word of what she said and how that took started the process off and began a tremendous big event that occurred in Naaman's life and certainly had ramifications that were far reaching. See how God uses little things in great ways? And we often look at little things and we despise little things. And yet God says, wait a minute, there's value and importance in the little things. The little things lead to great things to be accomplished for me. And so that's what we want to take a look at this weekend, little things. You know, I remember when we were in grade school, we would have, at the year end, we would have these Christmas parties in second and third and fourth grade. And everybody was responsible for bringing in a gift, and we'd have an exchange of gifts. And as we exchanged these gifts, as we began the process, you know, as you got your number, I was number 5 or 6 or 7, or somebody was number 30 or whatever it might be, we were already eyeing what gift we wanted to open up. And invariably, there was always the big gift over in the corner, and everybody's eyes were glued on that big gift, as if that was the best gift there would be. And certainly, you know, sooner or later, someone would pick out number 1, and when the numbers were called, number 1 got his opportunity, and number 1 went right for that big gift. And a lot of times you'd open up that big box and unravel all that wrapping paper and open it up, and there you'd find a mediocre gift. The package was a little bit outlandish, and it was a little bit more than what was in that box. And so you got a mediocre gift. Some of the best gifts were in those little boxes. Unpretentious. little tiny box, didn't catch anybody's attention. Usually number 30 had to get that box. That was the only one that was left. And there you find in that little box was perhaps one of the nicest gifts that the whole class got. You see, even in life, it seems that there's value even in the little things. And this weekend, we want to take a look at the value of little things. Our Christian lives, really, whether we realize it or not, are built on little things and become great when they are used by the Lord. I can't help but think of that song. It was a popular song. I can't quote it. I won't sing it, that's for sure. Bob does a very nice job of starting off. He's bolder than I am in that regard. Once I get going, I can start singing, but getting the machinery going is often tough. But it says, little becomes much when it's placed in the master's hand. God uses people, just ordinary people. He uses me and you, people who are willing to do what he commands. Little becomes much when it's placed in the master's hand. You see, little things become much when they're committed to the Lord. And that's what we want to take a look at this week. The ministries of Elijah and Elisha, the little things that we spot in their ministries, whether it came from them or whether it came upon them from other people, we still see God using those in wonderful ways, miraculous ways. And that's the lessons that we want to get out of this weekend, the meetings that we have, Lord willing, for the next 2 days. You know, someone has said it this way, great doors swing on little hinges. Great doors swing on little hinges. You know, you get a heavy door, you can barely pick those doors up. But a little tiny piece of metal can swing that door in a lot of different ways. And that's what we want to take a look at. How God can use the little things in our life to do major things for him. So as we go into this weekend, perhaps we can commit our time to the Lord in prayer now and ask him to bless in the meetings that follow. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we do indeed thank you for your blessings to us. We thank you for your goodness demonstrated to us each and every day. Lord, help us not to neglect to give you thanks for all that you've done for us. Father, we're so prone to look past the little blessings that we receive every moment of every day from your hand. We look for the big things. We look for the huge ways in which you can bless us, and yet you are blessing us every day in a multitude of ways. Help us, Lord, not to forget those things. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that we experienced today. Thank you for your watch care and your protection for us. Thank you for giving us the health and the opportunity to gather together to hear ministry from your word. Thank you for the joy of the knowledge of sins forgiven, and for the ministry of your word, which is able to cleanse us and to fill us with joy as we understand your ways in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would bless and consecrate each meeting that we have together, that your name would be uplifted, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted, and that we would indeed find our joy and pleasure in him. We thank you for this time together. We pray that you would bless our weekend. Keep your hand upon us as we go into it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.